The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE, and the world, too, via the Internet. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Having some fun talking about Elizabeth Warren and her giveaway to all, now including student loan forgiveness for up to 95% of Americans. That would be $50,000, you know, at least being taken. Anybody over $250,000 would not get student loan forgiveness.
Right.
But under $100,000, it would be at least $50,000. That, along with the plan for free college for all to public universities, would cost roughly $1.65 trillion that the rich would pay for, along with Medicare for all that they would pay for, and everything else that she has thrown in, almost to the point of, as we've said, of getting to the philosophy of gimmeism and our proposal to just create, for Elizabeth Warren and a few other the Democrats, the Free Life Party.
That's right. You shouldn't have to pay for anything.
Nothing should cost you. Somebody else should pay for all of your life's decisions.
Yes.
And I want to reiterate it because I ended the last part of the show with it, but that was the first thought that went through my head when that young lady was asking Elizabeth Warren, the audio cut that we played last hour, who was getting a history degree and saying, I've got years of college debt ahead of me, and the burden's going to be incredible. You know, what is your plan? Well, your student loan that would be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And my first thought I had was me being in college, and I was working two jobs. So odds are I would not be at a presidential forum, and definitely odds would not be that my mindset at that time would be, why am I working so hard while going to college full time? Why am I working more than full time hours going to college and going to college full time? This is unfair and somebody else should pay for it. So I'm going to skip work today and I'm going to go to this college forum to demand from the presidential candidate who is going to pay for my decision to go to college. I would have never even thought that. That's the point. I think that really gets to one of my most major points, that mindset as a 18-year-old or a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old would have never even entered my mind. Even at that young age, I would have never thought, who are we going to find to pay for my choices and my decisions?
Yeah, it is a foreign way of thinking in terms of the generational aspect of it, of in your mind believing that you could show up and just say, how are you going to pay for me? Because where does that really end? You know, college loans, a really horrible product if you think about it from both sides. Hey, I want to buy this car, and 4 years later, not today, 4 years later.
When I get a job.
When I get a job, I'll call you guys, and then 6 months after I get the job, you can start taking payments. How's that? It's not going to happen. But then the idea where you say, man, I can't wait to get in front of this presidential candidate to ask what they're going to give me. What they're just going to hand to me. Not, hey, what are your thoughts on taxes? Of course, we know what they are with her. Not, what is your thought on national security? not what would you do in the case of Syria and North Korea both declaring war at once, not on anything else, but hey, what do you got for me? What are you going to give me?
That mindset did not exist with me or my friends when we were in college. I never expected the government was going to bail me out on anything.
No.
That was of my own life and my own decisions, which I said, no, it's up to me. It's completely up to me. It wasn't even, I didn't even think it was my parents' responsibility to do that. That's how we were raised.
Right.
The fact that during college, for the most part, as I got near my end, I think I started paying more rent because I was working more. But the fact that they let me stay for a couple of years in college without having to pay rent at my parents' house, I thought was just an incredible gift that they gave me.
Right.
Seriously, I did. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
That's the mindset. I was extremely appreciative of that. And so the mindset that I would ever go to a presidential forum to ask a candidate, what are you going to do for me, was just so foreign.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have, and my friends, it would have been, I know, I still have those close friends I had in college are still close friends of mine today. It was never in the mindset. Everybody who went to college that I knew, everybody worked, and most of them worked close to full-time hours while going to college full-time. Well, and as I've stated, my college education didn't help me as much as learning time management by being able to juggle, for me, a full-time job, a part-time job, and college full-time. It was time management. It was how to organize my life at that age. Now, would it have been possible today? No, because I need sleep. Back then, I didn't sleep much.
Well, there's that.
We've always had that discussion with my friends. I go, you know, did we miss any parties? How did we do it all in a 24-hour day? And my buddy Jerry one time looked at me and said, dude, we never slept. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, there is that. but, I guess I first would have, if I were looking to be bailed out, what would be the first go-to back then? Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, right. Yeah, when I was 10, maybe that would work. 12, I'm pushing it. I'm already in middle school. 15, I'm about to learn how to drive. 17, not going to happen because you're old enough to work. 18, 21, 22, and then saying, hey, I need you to bail me out for this huge bill that I have from the colleges. I knew that wasn't going to fly. I knew that wouldn't fly.
My
parents didn't have the means, but beyond that, my dad would have said, well, you know, it's time to think about a second job.
Yeah, my dad lost his job early second year of college, he lost his job. And even though he found another job, it was just, you know, the seriousness of that. And he was out for a couple of months, I think. But still the seriousness of that, look, he was the only breadwinner with five kids.
Right.
And my father was always a saver, and so he was okay. But it was just, and he never said, look, since I lost the job, if you need any help, I can't help you at all. That was never said. It was just assumed. You just knew the seriousness of the situation. And it was like, okay, I'm working. And I was working the one job at the bank, and I was a club DJ, which really wasn't working, but they paid me. But doing that, and it was just like, no, I need to take care of all my expenses myself. You know, they've got enough burden on, you know, on them. So that wasn't really a thought. But if there was going to be a thought, that was the only thought, because it was that thought. Well, okay, I don't want to run, but I never thought about the government. I never thought about the federal government bailing me out for my college.
Well, see, that's my whole point, is that it would take a lot for me just to go into the living room and talk to Mom and Dad and go, okay, hey, at that time, if I were, you know, 23, 24, 25, I wouldn't have been at home, but go over to their house and say, hey, I need this. It would have been it wouldn't have been a thought, never would have been a thought to show up to a public forum and say, hey, what are you going to give me? Because they make it sound like it is something that happened to them.
Right. But it's so, it seems so normalized that it's an expectation that you go to a political forum to ask the politician what you're going to do for me, that it has become completely and totally normalized. And I think it's important to understand that it's normalized today where it wasn't even anything that ever entered our minds when we were that age.
Well, and that's it. Because it is that that idea that you include the whole victimization. You create a new victimization. You're a victim because this happened to you. Right. It didn't just happen to you. It didn't.
Well, that was sort of the caller we got last hour. Yes. You've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and then you've got kids. And we said, well, why'd you have kids? Well, these things just happen. Well, no, nothing just happens. They're all decisions that you make.
Yeah, it's not something that you had zero control over.
That's a good point that you make, though. I mean, decisions that you make have now become my victimhood.
Well, that's it. I mean, that caller included, you know, they're having children. What do you mean? That didn't just happen to them. You make it sound like they're a victim because they had children. That didn't happen to you.
Well, yeah, that's how the birds and bees work. You know, he was
acting as if that part of it, the behavior itself, shouldn't be judged.
Right. It's completely uncontrollable that there's no judgment ever to be made on it.
Right. Sorry. Doesn't work that way.
That mindset was also foreign to us back then.
Yes.
We didn't try to sell anybody that we weren't in control or responsible for anything that happened in our lives because it just happened, or the urges are beyond control.
Right.
That it's obvious that I can't control my own life, therefore you should be responsible for bailing me out.
That somebody else should be paying for my mistakes or my choices. No. And no.
It's really interesting to break it down, the actual mindset and the thoughts that people have.
Because the idea is they have been taught or told time and time again that they are a victim. That you're a victim simply because you exist.
Oh, and before we take a break and get to your calls, the one headline that I saw yesterday that I objected to the most, how Warren says she's going to pay for student loan forgiveness and free college. Now, what was false in that story?
She is going to pay for it.
Right, how Warren is going to pay. Warren is not going to pay for anything.
That's not going to happen.
Well, she'll pay her part of it, I guess, in the taxes. She would have to.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, by the way. I want everybody to know. But it's a mentality that's being promoted out there by the Democrats, and that's what we do. We talk about all the issues. That's not going to happen. We're not going to see that in all life. Well, I'll say it this way. We're not going to see that in my lifetime.
Right.
They're not going to have total student loan forgiveness and free college. That's not going to happen.
No. No, it's right. Not. There's no way to pay for it.
No way to pay for it.
But where do you start on that? We'll do it for some.
Yep.
Well, then there has to be a means test.
866-90-RED-EYE.
As spring sets in, it's a good idea to inspect your truck for damage done during winter. Between severe temperatures, snowfall, and the salt spray used to clear our roadways, corrosion is a common result of the colder months. Fortunately, corrosion is fairly easy to spot when you know where to look for it. Inspect any external metal component that's exposed. The front and rear understructure, wheel ends, landing gear brackets and braces, cross members and electrical harnesses are just a few vulnerable areas you should inspect. Be sure to check any washers made of different metal than the surface they're touching. It's important to remove and treat any corrosion you find as soon as possible. If you need extra assistance, stop into a TA truck service near you to have one of our expert technicians help.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-824-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley talking about Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren and her plan for student loan forgiveness and free public college for all. Let's go to Ted in Georgia. Ted, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Ted.
How you guys doing?
Good.
You know, you talk about you worked two jobs when you were going to school.
Yes.
Were student loans even available then?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't remember when I went to school could even get a student.
Yes,
loan.
In fact, I took out a $1,000 student loan, and when my first year, I never took out another one, and I kept the student loan and collected the interest on it for 4 years. And I think that the day that it was due, that you had to start making payments, I paid it out in full. So I really had a student loan that sat in the bank for 4.5 years that I collected interest on. And then I just paid it in full. I paid it in full without any interest. So, and I never took out I could have taken out another loan. Now this goes back 40 years ago. But
right. Well, I'm 64. I've got two kids with master's degree, and neither one of them owed a nickel when they graduated. Now I made a lot of sacrifices to pay for their school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Elizabeth Warren's plan should be to pay me back.
See?
To write me a check.
Exactly.
For all the money I could have bought.
You
will forgive it.
Exactly.
If you're going to forgive everybody. I'm looking back thinking I should have borrowed as much money as I possibly could have.
You know, there's the difference, Ted, in when we talk about this, when you create this new victimhood, victimization, like they try and do with college loans. What they ignore is everyone else that paid theirs off, that worked their way through school and paid as they went along, or whose parents sacrificed and paid along the way. What are you going to do about those folks? How are you going to appease those individuals? You can't, because you can't pay for it.
Yeah, all she's doing is getting us to vote for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the ill effect of something, that kind of idea. And I think long term, they will have learned this, but they still haven't. They're still promoting the free stuff on the campaign trail. And thank you, Ted.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
Great point.
But that's, you know, that's something we've been asking. What do you say to the person that just paid theirs off 2 months ago? What do you say to the person that worked their way through school? What do you say to the person who didn't that paid attention in high school, that worked really hard and got an academic scholarship?
What about the person that's worked two jobs to pay off their college loan?
And what are you going to do for them? Because they talk about the existing college debt. They always throw that number out there. Well, the existing college debt. Well, that's not who you're talking about. You're talking about everybody else that paid for college one way or another. What about those individuals? You're going to give them nothing? You're saying that doesn't count, what they did to make their loans go away or pay them off, or they made their situation better by not taking a loan out in the first place? They worked hard to do that, but that doesn't count? That work doesn't count. Those who did something responsible aren't about to get a benefit. That's always the case.
And where does the point happen? Let's say hypothetically this happened. Where does the point where the government says, wait a minute, we can't be giving free college to every public university for every curriculum?
Right. Right.
We can only be doing it for those that can actually be productive.
You're listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Where does that happen? Where does it get to the point where they say, well, wait a minute, we just don't want to give you a free... It's got to be free college in order to get a job or a high technical job, something like that.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios.
And he's Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. By the way, we'll get to more of your calls and comments here on Elizabeth Warren and her student loan burden on people that didn't take out the college loan plan and the burden to pay for other people's college tuition coming up here in just a moment. But a new morning consult poll shows that Medicare for All falls just short of a majority, 47%, but that 31% of Republicans support the policy of Medicare for All. The poll, which surveyed 6,600 adults and has a margin of error of 1%, showed broad majority support some form of federal health insurance that would be available to all Americans, though support was higher for policies that would be optional. Morning Consult noted that Medicare for All has fallen since the 2018 midterm election, so. But still, 31% of Republicans.
Yeah, we saw that in 2017. I mean, we saw that right after the election last year. Or last time it changed, and going into 2017, it's why the Republicans couldn't fully repeal Obamacare. You can't take away the stuff we like. Yeah, do away with the individual mandate. Do away with the way that in part it's paid for. But we can't do away with the free stuff. We can't do away with the benefits. Well. Now, I think it's at some point the greater discussion is going to be had. My question is, can this president, we asked this in 2016, could he be the first president to go out with the Democrats in power? Could he be the first Republican to go out and push for a single-payer system? And I wonder what would happen, because I think heads would explode if President Trump started talking about a Bernie Sanders Medicare for All single payer system. Well, how soon would Bernie jump off of it? Bernie may not actually jump off of it. How soon would the Democrats start taking aim at it?
Well, remember, the president did mention that in his campaign, some kind of Medicare for All program.
Right.
So this isn't foreign from Republicans mention it.
No,
and I wonder
it's
if
not.
Many Trump supporters remember that Trump mentioned it, and that's why Medicare for All support is at 31% even with Republicans.
That's why we which is why we brought up that question. Would the Democrats jump on board and try and take credit, or can they not jump on board anything that he is attached to?
Let's go back. A lot of interest in Elizabeth Warren's plan to forgive 95% of those who have taken out college loans, forgive at least $50,000 of their loan, and to have free public college for 2 years and 4 years, a total price tag of $1.65 trillion, as we have stated. Let's be honest, it's not student loan forgiveness. Because it's forgiven from the person who took out the student loan, but that cost to pay for that student loan is put on people who did not take out that student loan, who did not make that decision. We've already had some interesting calls, including one caller who made it as just should be an expectation that these young people have thousands of dollars in loans that will take them years, and they have families and children. And we have stated, well, that's their decision, not the person who did not make those decisions. So we've had some interesting conversation here. Let's go to David in Woodstock, Georgia. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Very good.
Hey, so quick thought. It'll probably never happen, unfortunately, because of the demographic and these young kids that we're dealing with. But everything that she's talking about, it's called the military. join the military, you get the GI Bill. With the GI Bill, there's two options. The first option is to forgive, well, I don't want to say forgive, but to help cover any current student loans. So if you go to college for 2 years, whatever, you rack up some debt, go to the military, they'll help you pay it off. Option two, you pay into it, but then they give you money for school. I got my entire professional aeronautics bachelor's and science degree for free in the military. They'll help you. There's things out there. So if we want to give it away, then you should be willing to work for it. That's called
well,
military.
I'm sure their response would be that the majority of young people cannot join the military. There just aren't the openings there, but that would be their response. But, well, what you're saying is the fact that because you're not getting anything free, you're joining the military.
Well, that's the response. The greater that's response not, is even right. if there were the slots available that they wouldn't want to work for it, you shouldn't have to do that. A, work for it. B, much less, ultimately, quite possibly put your life on the line for it. That's, I'm telling you, their response. But, yes. I've had members of my family that have done the same thing.
We go to Maureen in Las Vegas. Maureen, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, this thing is so hysterical, and I keep hoping that she keeps drinking her beers and coming up with Fantasy Island stuff. Really? Yeah, I'm kind of the other caller kind of stole my thunder about, let's give back, the money that, the parents have already paid out for this. Now, my situation is that would be part three. Now, part four would be she's all for reformation. Let's do some kind of reformation for this because my sister was able to complete her college, be very successful, has a house, everything. You know, my life didn't turn out so well. Had to flee from an abusive situation, had a child. I decided to stop at my AA degree because I had to raise my child. I did the responsible thing. Wasn't able to, continue my life the way in the track that she did. I'm not saying poor me, not trying to be victimized, but
right.
There's
got
to be some kind of reformation for that, right? So that should be part D. I mean,
what you're stating is the fact that you made decisions in your life. Some did not work out well, but you had to take responsibility for them.
Right. And wasn't able to continue on with the higher education.
Right.
So then I need to go back and get paid for that time for me not being able to do that. Right. I mean, if we're going to go
No, you're right.
Let's do A, B, C, D.
Right.
And I'm sure there's E and F. I mean, this just. And did anybody ask her how exactly pinpoint the question of how she was going to pay this like they did Bernie and he finally came out with taxes? Somebody needs to pinpoint her so she will say the word taxes and then put her on our checklist of no.
Well, she wasn't challenged on it, but she said that it would be the tax on the super rich.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
The money isn't there.
So we got Medicare for all
right.
versus the super rich. We got now the college for the super rich. We got when does super rich start screaming?
At some point,
not that much to go around.
Even if they never screamed, when do they run out of money? Well, at some point, they actually would under her plan, of course.
Right.
And thank you, Maureen. We appreciate it. But because remember, her plan was they start taking your wealth back from you that you've already paid taxes on,
right?
Everything above $50 million,
right?
So the super rich, the super wealthy, they would just start chipping away at that until they got down to below $50 million. They would start confiscating that wealth, not taxes, taking wealth that's already been paid for, that was paid for with income that had already been taxed.
And it was at 2%. We said, yeah, but if you're at 100 million in 20 years, you've lost 40 million of that.
Right. And they would keep eating away at that.
Right. So what you do is you decimate somebody's wealth over a period of a generation. By the way, that's not going to pass Congress.
You might as well just say, we're going to take it all now and you get to only keep $50 million.
Well, the other thing is that's the reason that can never happen is because then you've opened up another door, because once they tax over $50 million, then they're going to tax $25 million, then they're going to tax over $20 million, and eventually they will get down to everybody, where every part of your wealth, anything that you earn, even your wealth, your current wealth is viewed, the assets are viewed, and you are taxed a certain amount on that, even if it's just a half a percent or a quarter of a percent, when the socialist government wants to spend double, triple, quadruple what we're spending right now. The money just isn't there for the rich, and so you've got to come up with ways in order to raise money, unless you finance it all with deficit spending. And the way they want to spend, we already see what we've talked about this. We already saw that we're up to 105, 106% of GDP spending right now, with no hope that that's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say we're going to now double spending and triple spending of the federal government right now, that money isn't available. You cannot tax the public the way you're taxing the public. It's got to be some type of stealth tax, which is why you're seeing, well, we need to raise corporate taxes, or we need to do things that people won't notice, because if you notice it directly, nobody will be in favor of it. But what we're also doing is accelerating the debt, and if you doubled spending or tripled spending, you're going to accelerate debt even more. You're going to put the country into a shambles. It's really amazing that they're proposing this kind of socialist activity at this time in our history, when our debt now is over 100% our debt is over 100% of our GDP.
Well, and another reason her tax plan wouldn't work is because every taxpayer would have to be fully audited in terms of their assets every year. Because the government has no way of knowing if, let's just say, all of a sudden you had some kind of collectible that skyrocketed in value, all of a sudden your wealth is worth $60 million. Imagine the nightmare. Everybody would have to do it, because the government doesn't have any other way of knowing. It's just like doing your taxes otherwise. Except if they want to take your wealth, everybody has to report their wealth, not just the super rich.
Right.
You would have everybody. To list right. all of your assets and value of those assets every year.
And the government then is involved in every little stinking aspect
everything
of your life.
Everything you own.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. Let's go to John in Irvine, California. John, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
It's a nice topic, because my friend just got done with $50,000 a year at USC. When I went there, it was probably about $15,000. Hmm. And a lot of the cost has been because the government did give these loans. The people paying now are increased. Their tuition is highly increased due to the loans.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it caused an artificial demand.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's no economies to scale. There's no innovation in this industry. You go to school the same way I went to school.
Yep.
We have internet now.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of things cheaper. They're not doing it cheaper because they get government money through
yep.
these loans.
Great point.
Yep. That's what a bubble is. You see it in a housing bubble, where houses skyrocket. You have the same thing with the college bubble. Is Mark Cuban, not exactly a well-known Republican conservative, even though he said he would run as a Republican, but he stated that. He mm-hmm. stated that he was the one that said, look, we need to limit the amount of college loans that kids take, because that's
Thanks,
the
John.
Only thing that will bring down tuition.
You know, John makes a great point. Think about all the innovation that's out there, all the innovation. It used to be that, I mean, you had to spend a ton of money for the HDTV or whatever it was. Now, that hasn't necessarily changed, apparently, with smartphones, Samsung, and their $2,000 folding phone, which apparently may be folding completely. They're gonna delay shipments on that because they're having issues with that phone. But I'm thinking of the price of where you have phones, smartphones, where they're, you know, back in the day, you couldn't find a smartphone for $400 or $500. Well, now you can. The pricing comes down. Why? Because that competition, that innovation, how the technology changes too. The same with televisions, where it becomes a real demand and a real competition within the environment. Well, you don't have that, and when it comes to these colleges, they don't have the same competitive field, and they have what? Can you imagine if we started giving these huge government loans to people for smartphones and TVs?
As closer as you get to a government monopoly, controlling more of the cash and more of the money, prices go up. Monopolies don't work.
Right. And we're supposed to think healthcare is going to work better with the government taking control of it. No. College? No.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. In the news today, well, I guess after Friday, and it seemed to be accelerating, that impeachment. Well, apparently the leadership, the Democrats, don't want to go into the direction of impeachment after the release of the Mueller report, where they were screaming about obstruction of justice. You know, I found an audio cut here that puts it into simple perspective, and I found it actually. This is from yesterday on Fox News with Hannity, and it was Piers Morgan who was on. Hmm. Piers Morgan, not known as a right-wing conservative, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Used to be former anchor on CNN, correct?
Yes.
And takes many, 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 many liberal positions out there. I thought it would be perfect to play what his analysis of it was, because it actually is, at the end, to me at least, quite funny. Now, I will admit that he does mention Jussie Smollett in this little audio clip, because they were talking about that fact earlier, about how his brother says Jussie Smollett is experiencing post-traumatic syndrome and night terrors,
mm-hmm.
which brought a lot of comment yesterday.
Yeah.
But I want to get to Piers Morgan on actually what happened and the Mueller report, and since he used to be part of the mainstream liberal media, his reaction to it.
But what was the report set up to be? The report was set up very clearly to investigate. Mueller was appointed to investigate whether there was a conspiracy by Donald Trump or his campaign team with the Russians to basically fix the election. I can't imagine a more serious charge against any serving president than they betrayed their country with a foreign enemy to fix a U.S. election. And for 2 years, the media in this country and the Democrats and screaming liberal celebrities like Jussie Smollett, who led the charge on this for the celebrities, have screamed collusion, 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 collusion. Right? This was a done deal. Mueller was the savior. He was the man on the white horse riding into town to take down President Trump. On collusion with Russia, he would be exposed as a traitor, and this would be the end of his presidency. And then the Mueller report comes out, and it turns out it was all nonsense. It was, to quote Donald Trump, it was fake news.
Ooh.
So I turned, Sean, the day after the full report was published, and looked at the papers, the Washington Post and the New York Times, who both won Pulitzer Prizes for their coverage of Russia collusion. And neither of them remembered to mention in their banner headlines the day after the full publication of the full report, neither of them remembered to mention that the conclusion by Mueller was there was no collusion. Instead, they went for more Trump bashing. I turned to cable news, some of your rivals, some I used to work at, And they, too, moved very swiftly from collusion that they've been screaming about for 2 years to now obstruction of justice. So let's analyze that for a couple of seconds. We're supposed to believe now that Donald Trump committed repeated obstruction of justice over a crime that he now, as we all know, did not commit. So he's trying to obstruct people from investigating something he said he didn't do, that the special counsel has now confirmed he didn't do. It is ridiculous. It is a farce. It's making a mockery, I think, of America.
Well, there you go. From a British citizen, just so we Piers Morgan there.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I was watching some video of Brian Stelter at CNN, you know, going off on Trump and his allies. They're telling these big lies. You know, and we don't know what's going to come from the congressional referrals, from the inspector general's office, and any possible referrals from that office, or the AG and his investigation. But can you imagine if they do get to the point where they see that this was a massive abuse of power? Not getting opposition research, but using that bogus opposition research illegally, using it to obtain FISA warrants so they could spy on the opposition's campaign.
And as I just happened to mention when I saw it yesterday, and I was on social media, and it was somebody who liked it. It was somebody liking, because I didn't follow him. I'm now going to follow him on social media, on Twitter, was George Papadopoulos. And if you remember when the Republicans were telling the Democrats that the investigation began, at Carter Page, they said no, that the investigation began because of George Papadopoulos and his conversations overseas with the Australian diplomat. Well, Papadopoulos came out with a Twitter thing yesterday saying and actually pointing to the part of the Mueller report where Mueller talks about the fact that they were looking at Papadopoulos and his associations with Israel, and they know that because they got warrants to find out what he was talking about Israel with. And he said right there is a FISA warrant that they got on me, and that was 2015. And now he is claiming that they got, his claim is that the Obama administration got FISA warrants on he and Michael Flynn in 2015.
Yeah.
That's his claim. Now, we'll see whether that comes to be true or not, or whether that was a FISA warrant that they actually got. But you to monitor what he was doing with any Israeli official or not. But if that happens, it goes all the way back to 2015 that they were getting FISA warrants at that time. That's huge. That would be huge if they were getting if it was Papadopoulos and Flynn that they were getting FISA warrants on. Wow. And Papadopoulos even said when Trump declassifies those FISA, and I'm like, well, how would you know that Trump would even know about those FISA warrants to begin with? He will now if they read the Twitter feed, which I'm sure many people do. But if that was the case, I mean, that's unbelievable, because remember Rand Paul stated that he believed that his campaign was spied upon.
Right. Yeah, if because that timing there, especially in that tweet, and I have it here in front of me now from George Papadopoulos via Twitter, when the president declassifies the FISAs that were on both myself and Flynn, all the pundits who fell for the July 31st investigation launch being in quotations, date, and keep repeating it, should be fired. This target was on both Flynn and me by at the latest 2015, more to come.
And then relates back to the Mueller report, where the Mueller report says that they were looking at Papadopoulos and his Israeli connections, and then in parentheses talks about getting a warrants to do that.
Yes.
And that's where he's claiming that's a FISA warrant that they got on him way before July 31st.
Yes, he said 2015 at the latest. So if you look at that and you say to yourself, okay, well, what was that situation? How many others were already in the mix, in the pool, because he was not the inevitable nominee at that point, Trump. He was not.
No, he was
not. In 2015,
nope.
Not by any stretch. You could say, okay, where are the where's the energy? And let's just say you could have narrowed that field of 17 or 18 down to, you know, 4 or 5. You still, in 2015, would have, if that's what was going on, if we're talking about monitoring the opposition in those campaigns, then, and then you add to it what Rand Paul said, Rand Paul being one of those other candidates, then you have to ask the question, how many others were monitored illegally? This is part of also, I think, the question when John Solomon and Sarah A. Carter were at Circa 2 years ago this month. They put out the reports with court documents from the FISA courts that talked about the court rebuking the Obama administration going back to 2011. And that in October of 2016, just days before the election, October 26th, 2016, the Obama administration approached the FISA court and said, yeah, we know you told us to quit doing that back in 2011, but we didn't. Sorry, our bad. My question, your question has been, what were they being rebuked for specifically? What are they talking about in terms of possible violations of people's civil rights?
How were they? I mean, because here's what we would expect from a FISA warrant. Not and I don't expect FISA warrants against another presidential campaign. That's
right.
Not what I think the average person would perceive a FISA warrant. A FISA warrant we would look at as if you had Al-Qaeda operatives or ISIS operatives in the United States. Because that's really why FISA warrants, you know, exist. Maybe some mob, but mostly for terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
So we can know what's going on. And so if you've got an American citizen, you know, who is a Al-Qaeda member or an ISIS member dealing with another ISIS member overseas, it's a way to listen into what's going on without letting those terrorist groups know what's going on. Not to find out what's going on inside of a presidential administration based on rumors. For example, Dianne Feinstein, when they found out that her chauffeur was they believed a Chinese operative working for her for 20 years, they didn't get a FISA warrant and secretly monitor him in order to find out whether Feinstein was involved in it or not. They went right to Feinstein and told her.
Right.
You've got somebody bad
right.
inside of your campaign, and then she she fired him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the normal process works. You don't sit there and say, okay, somebody in your campaign, and this is extremely low level, might have, because they were yapping to somebody, might have information from maybe somebody in the Russian administration. You don't at that point get a FISA warrant and then start a counterintelligence investigation on a campaign. That's when you go to the head of the campaign and you say, you've got dirt
right.
over here.
Right.
Now, we want you to keep it quiet, but we're going to investigate them. But you inform them as to what's going on. They didn't do that. That would be the normal procedure at that point. They assumed, because remember, the assumption then became with the dossier and everything else that was floating around early that Trump had something to do with it. But if this is way before the dossier, if this is 2015 and it's got nothing to do with the dossier, whoa.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's and if it is it related at all to any other behavior or activities with the previous administration?
Because you can say the beginning of the dossier was what? Would have that been in March?
What, February or March?
It would have been February or March. It would have been when it would have been when the Republicans were when Trump had the nomination basically sewn up and the Republicans got out of Fusion GPS, which mm-hmm. then the dossier started being funded at that point by the Democrats. That had to be what, March or April at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
So any information that would have been coming out from the dossier early on that he might have been relating early on to anybody in the Democrat Party or anybody in law enforcement, you know, would have been May or June. So if we're going way back to 2015, where Papadopoulos is claiming there was a FISA warrant against him, and he's a member of the Trump campaign, which means they were investigating at that point. I mean, that and Michael Flynn, if he was being investigated at that point, that blows the doors off all of this.
Right.
Because then what were you investigating them for? Because if you were investigating them for something, or Flynn, that had something to do with what he did in late 2016, late 2017, that would have been leaked already. That would have been leaked, because that would have been in anything that was negative against Trump was leaked.
Yeah.
Anything positive about Trump wasn't leaked. Well, I will say a significant portion of things negative about Trump was leaked. Almost exclusively what was leaked on Trump was all bad stuff.
Right.
And none of this was leaked, which means in all likelihood, if it wasn't leaked, you ask the question, is that because it doesn't fit the narrative, or it had nothing to do with what they did in late 2016, late 2017, when investigating Michael Flynn? I mean, there's just so many questions here. Is this thing, who knows how this thing's going to blow up? But it is going to blow up over the next 6 months. It definitely will blow up, because you've got too many investigations going on. And you have Papadopoulos. If Papadopoulos is saying it, and then he wrote the Wall Street Journal article op-ed piece last week saying, I was spied upon. Here are the three names. They're the three names familiar with everybody, from Stefan Helper to, I can't remember the other two gentlemen's names, the one Australian diplomat and the other... Masood, I think his name is, that he said all were operatives, he believes, of intelligence agencies, the United States, Great Britain, and maybe even Australia, that were spying on him, and were they cooperating with American intelligence at that particular point?
Right.
And he says they were all, you know, they were all spying on me. Call it surveillance, call it spying, but that's what they were doing. Now that I recall all my conversations with them, they were in my life because they were spying on me. And with all those spies, and if there were the if there was the FISA warrant on him, and maybe more FISA warrants on him, he got charged with what? Lying, right? But nothing to do with any type of collusion, and the Mueller report shows that. No collusion.
Right. That it does make you wonder if the old proverbial tip of the iceberg here is even a start. Seriously, how deep this goes.
Well, the fact that he wrote the op-ed piece, which everybody has seen, including Barr.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
A unique day in American history is ending. Earth Day. No one...
Walter Cronkite, legendary broadcaster, reporting on the first Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970. And certainly the quality of the air and water has been much improved in the 49 years since that first Earth Day, due in part to efforts by farmers. Kevin Norton with USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service says back in 1970, USDA's conservation efforts were largely dealing with preventing soil erosion, but that's been expanded to cover...
water quality, wildlife habitat, grazing land resources, all those kind of things.
Now, some still lay some of the blame for greenhouse emissions and global warming to farmers, leading Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to say...
agriculture can be a source of the solution rather than being accused as a problem.
He says with the adoption of cover crops, no-till farming methods, precision agriculture, farmers are reducing chemical use and making their farms into huge carbon sinks, keeping carbon in the soils, not in the air. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90, Red Eye, looking at thehill.com. Democrats seek to rein in calls for impeachment. You and I said it's going to be nuts last Friday, as it was. You know, Thursday and Friday, it was just crazy. And the impeachment calls and everything else and the obstruction of justice. And we said, let's see where it is a week from now. And already by, we're to Tuesday, but by Monday it was, well, we need to rein in calls. Well, we should consider impeachment. We need to go through the process. We need to gather information. And then I believe it will slowly be forgotten about because there's no substance there.
Right.
There's no substance for impeachment. It's not going to get anywhere.
Here's your forecast.
Strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy to excessive rainfall will be possible across the southern high plains and much of Texas through tomorrow. Above average high temperatures are expected across much of the country this week, especially in the west, and a sturdy ridge of high pressure builds and expands across that region. For the next 7-day period, the rainfall in central Texas and much of that state will be upwards of 5 inches. The coasts, Atlantic and Pacific, won't receive much in the way of rainfall this week. As we move through your day today, we'll see an elongated frontal boundary from Michigan down through Texas, delivering, again, heavy amounts of rainfall for Texas and Oklahoma. As you move up along the front, there's an area of low pressure that'll cause some unsettled weather in that region, with the potential later today and into tomorrow for some severe weather across the states of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios. Unvarnished and honest. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So we had last Thursday and Friday that was crazy, and then we got to yesterday. Democrats from thehill.com, Dems seek to rein in calls for impeachment. Yeah, because you don't have anything.
There's nothing there.
There's no obstruction of justice. And we all, you tried to make it sound like there was, because Mueller obviously made that a political document, especially that portion of it, yeah, where the 10 instances, there were no 10 instances of obstruction of justice. Stop it. I hate to say it, but Piers Morgan, who is not a legal genius, pointed it out. The American people look at it and say, so he didn't commit a crime. So you're saying that he obstructed justice by not committing a crime, to obstruct justice, to obstruct the Justice Department from investigating something that he knew he was innocent of, and the prosecutor found that he was innocent of, and now your goal is to impeach him for something he did legally because you don't know what his intent was, even though all the evidence shows his intent was he was ticked off because he was being unfairly accused of something. You're really going to go with that? Go ahead. And we always knew, you and I talked about this and said, the Democrat leadership isn't going to be for this. Now you have all the Democratic candidates saying, well, we should take steps now, and we need to keep the investigation going, as Pelosi said. Well, yeah, of course that's what you're going to say, because you want to give hope. You still want to give that last bit of hope to those on the left that believe Trump committed collusion.
Yeah, you can't reverse what you have built, this entire house of lies. You can't go and just tear it down and do what John Brennan did one day and said, oh, I guess I got bad information.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Brennan, Trump committed treason. Trump is a Russian operative. Trump, oh, never mind.
Yeah. Hey, let's get this guy on. He's going to be a regular contributor to our channel, to our program. He's the former CIA director. If he says it, it has to be true. His sources tell him. And then the Monday morning after the Friday Mueller report came out, he says, oh, I guess,
oops,
I didn't get good information. Dude, you are so fired. Not only are you fired, you owe us money.
No, but he was back on in a couple days.
Right.
Let's get the expertise from the guy who's been wrong for the last 2 years.
Right.
I guess I had bad information. My bad.
You know, in that same conversation, well, I'm glad. I'm glad he's not colluding with the Russians. I'm glad. That's a good thing. That's a positive. Yeah, you're missing the whole point. It's just insane how this thing is happening.
What I liked was they kept playing the audio cut from, you know, Giuliani over the weekend. The liberals were pounding on it. You know, so what if we get, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. So what if we got information from the Russians? Or so what if anybody gets information from the Russians? And Joe Scarborough, for example, now the president is, it's okay to get information from China to go after a different candidate. Well, do you now understand what we're talking about? Because the DNC and Hillary campaign got information and propaganda and lies and disinformation from the Russians to use against a presidential candidate. It's all that's the most unbelievable thing of it all that we've talked about 100 times, that the elephant of the liver, what they accused Trump of and what they're accusing of him about, what Giuliani believes now is exactly what they did, and they just never mention it. As if it doesn't exist.
Right.
It's... Well, here we go. To the Supreme Court today will consider the whole citizenship and the census.
Yeah. I would love to hear, you know, comments during that process. That's going to be interesting to, I guess, read between the lines and see what the ultimate decision is.
And the Commerce Secretary simply said, no, we want to add the citizenship question, are you a citizen of the United States?
Right.
Therefore, we can separate the citizens from the non-citizens. And the left is upset because they believe that non-citizens should have representation in Congress.
Right. They say they are against it because they don't want someone to be intimidated by the census takers. But the fact of the matter is that they want that representation in those districts.
Well, I want accuracy in the census.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that our congressional representation should be decided on citizens.
Yeah.
And I bet you the vast majority of Americans agree with me.
I'm guessing.
Otherwise, I would say that I wouldn't say that if it was the opposite way, if I believed... that they didn't agree with me, I would say the vast number of people who aren't Americans. Because that's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Should Americans be represented, or everyone? And if everyone should be represented, then it means open borders, and Congress is represented by anybody who's able to get in here illegally. And American citizens, too, we guess.
Right.
But anybody who comes in here illegally has as much representation as any American citizen. Anybody believe that's the correct way that our Congress should be formed, and our congressional districts, and how many congressional districts we should have by the number of illegal immigrants that you have in your state gives you more congressional districts? I don't think the majority of Americans would agree with that. Now, it's interesting to see that the Democrats are moving, we want a direct democracy. So we believe that every illegal immigrant should have that direct line to our democracy, too.
Right.
Tell me where I'm wrong. So that citizenship question before the Supreme Court today will be really interesting. I'm looking forward to, I'm assuming oral arguments would be today. I'm looking forward to see how, to read SCOTUS blog later on today.
Right, yeah.
After that stuff.
Yeah, the comments during those arguments are some of them. It doesn't always tell you where it's going, but certainly it's part of that discussion, and it's always intriguing.
Socialist students at the University of Texas San Antonio encourage followers to stop by the group's breadline.
Oh.
Come by our breadline today. We'll be giving out free sandwiches in front of, I guess, of the student union for another hour, so come by before we run out. The Young Democratic Socialist Association chapter at UTSA tweeted out on April 9th.
Mm-hmm.
The tweet calls attention to the common stereotype of socialist countries at a time when the far left in American Democratic Party is advocating for socialist policies. And it's just interesting that they actually talk about the fact, join our breadline. If you want to kid that way, that's a great way to kid.
Sure.
If absolutely. You wish to have fun that way, or you believe that you are mocking we capitalists, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're not. It's actually an accurate stereotype of where socialism ends up.
And
bread lines.
And what do you mean run out before we run out? No, 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 no. You can't ever run out. You have to feed the masses.
True. That's true.
Certainly you have plenty of money, right? That's not an issue. Taking care of everyone would not be an issue. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we make the sandwiches smaller. Maybe we limit.
Well, a bill.
Maybe we ration.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with socialism.
Yeah.
All right. And we've said this before when, you know, people have said, well, many more Americans approve of socialism. No, we don't. We approve of gimmeism. We don't like socialism, though.
Right.
We don't like having to pay for it. We only like the freebie part of it. So we're really not true socialists. We're gimmeists. And so we've talked about, in fact, we've advocated today that the philosophy of gimmeism be represented by the Free Life Party here in America.
That's right. Everything free.
But another example of why even some of the most socialist parts of our country actually don't believe in socialism, a bill that would have slapped a statewide tax on sugary drinks in California stalled yesterday when the lawmaker who authored it shelved the legislation until next year.
Oh, okay.
The tax would have been 2 cents per fluid ounce on soda and other sugar-sweetened beverages such as teas and sports and energy drinks. It seeks to use the tax revenue to help fund programs to combat diabetes and other chronic health conditions. It was opposed, though. By the way, how can you, you know, we talked about this with the, you know, the legalization of marijuana in many of these states and California and all this. If you, you know, want to take out that urge to have sugary drinks and sugar candies and things like that, how can you be advocating for pot growing?
Right. Can't do that.
What about the concept of the munchies? Mm. Isn't that something that we have to deal with in a serious way? Any substance that creates the munchies.
Right.
Makes you hunger for crap food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shouldn't that be, forget about getting high. What about the munchie effect? Should the munchie effect be banned? Well, they'll probably come up in these legal marijuana shops. Guaranteed not to. You get high, but you don't get the munchies.
Well, who wants that? That's half the fun. Right? Sit around and eat candy bars all day? I don't want a diet drug. Imagine. If Eric and Gary had a dispensary, all of these make you more productive in life. Oh, no, no, no. No, I don't want that.
Now, these are marijuana edibles with speed.
Yes.
So it takes away your...
These make you more productive in life, more inclined to save money and be responsible for yourself. No, no. No, I don't want that one, man. Something else, please.
I believe Huey Lewis sang about that, did he not?
Exactly. Yeah. Wait a minute. What? No. Can you imagine that, though? Because think about it. What has been the drive?
The drug that makes you feel better, healthier, and it makes you more responsible.
Yeah. What? Imagine, because what was the drive? I mean, it really was all about getting high, right?
Yes. Right.
Just getting high. Well, all right, we're going to have a drug here. We're going to legalize it. It'll make you more productive and responsible. No. Now, see, you would think that would be the natural inclination of man to look for something. Man, I want something to make me better at work, to be able to excel in life and be more productive and responsible. That would be the thing. Everybody would go, oh, man, I want that. No, I want something that makes me want to stay home.
Our drug increases your work ethic.
That's right. No, no, I can't have that. No, no, what else you got?
The be responsible, I'll take care of my own college expenses drug.
Right. No, I want something that makes me sit at home. and wonder what would happen if I started the Wizard of Oz movie at the same time I started a Pink Floyd album. That's what I want. You got anything like that?
I imagine somebody just tuning into the end part of this conversation going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Cold weather can be tough on diesel engines, causing fuel to gel and clog up filters. Stay prepared this winter with the proper fuel additives for your truck. Adding a cold weather additive to your maintenance routine is the easiest way to prevent fuel gelling. Diesel fuel is full of paraffin wax, an element designed to improve your fuel's viscosity and lubrication properties. The lower the temperature outside, the faster the paraffin wax in your fuel will gel up. This can lead to clogged fuel filters or fuel that is too solid to flow. Shop shelves are full of different fuel additives, but the one you need to keep an eye out for is a cold weather additive to help fight fuel gelling this winter. Stop into a TA truck service near you to shop our selection of cold weather additives today.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just one note here is I was looking at the front page of the Drudge Report.
Yeah.
Where it says, Pelosi, keep digging. Leadership balks on impeachment. Did you notice the picture there of Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah. What has she got in her hand?
She has a gavel.
Oh, she's got a gavel.
She has a gavel in her hand.
All right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that since you and I both got gavels in the studio in honor of Gerald Nadler of the
right.
House Judiciary Committee. And
right.
We had a nice listener send us the two gavels. We each have our own gavel.
Right.
Seems to be part of our pop culture now.
I think we made gaveling cool. I think that's widely known.
Well,
it wasn't cool up until...
Our hats will come out soon, making gaveling great again.
Yes. And then we can, you know, get rich. And then we can pay for everybody else's stuff.
The first presidential candidate with a gavel.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.